Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Cheese Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Rego. In today's show, I'll be talking Packers sports and life with my guest, Dale from, is it Average Cheese or ABG
Average,
Cheese?
Average Cheese, yeah.
Average Cheese. What is Average Cheese?
Average Cheese is our podcast. We couldn't spell average, so we just put it down as ABG Cheese when we started this thing.
So. All right. Okay, but before I get to Dale, I want to give a shout out to OAP Network for giving me the chance to express my opinions as far as Packers sports and life. Special giveaway, once the Ohana underscore Packers Twitter account hits 523 followers, they will be giving away an 8x10 autographed Jair Alexander picture. So, Dale, tell me about yourself.
I'm a MPS teacher. Maybe I shouldn't admit that on a podcast. I teach for Milwaukee Public Schools. I'm actually an instructional coach. I have a Packer podcast with two of my friends. My friend Todd and I started a podcast, Packer podcast, back in 2020, right after the draft with Jordan Love, AJ Dillon, and that. Todd and I have been friends forever and ever since we were in elementary school, and we always used to text each other during games. We thought, why not talk Packers on a podcast? We entered Peter mix. We have a friend, Peter, we met. He's from the UK. He's the brains behind the organization. Todd and I are just the jokes and the shit talking. So, yeah.
Right.
I want to do those things. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
How many episodes have you guys done?
We just recorded our 170th episode last night. So, yeah.
Wow.
40-ish per year, somewhere in there. We slow down during the summer. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun, though.
I just kind of go on randomly, just do record them, and then Ope puts them out whenever my day is. I think I'm doing 3 days a week now, so.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's going to slow down, too. I'm just trying to get out there, and once I feel get my days right and feel what I think works for me, I think I'll stick with that, and it'll slow down in the summertime. I have five kids that are in activities and stuff as well, so it's going to.
I would imagine so.
It'll slow down. Nice. So, what do you think of this year's draft?
It was nice. You know,
yeah.
We all have our draft crush, right? We were like, this guy's going to be the first round guy. It was Cooper DeJean for like 90% of Packers Twitter. And you have to know as a Packer fan that that's not who it's going to be. Who we think is going to be, that ain't it. Ever.
Yeah.
It's never that guy. We gave it a grade. I think we gave individual grades last night when we did the podcast, but I'd say it's around a B. I mean, it's not perfect,
yeah.
But when you're always drafting in the back half, it's never going to be perfect. You're never going to get all the guys you need because there's too many teams in front of you.
Yeah. You said 90% wanted Cooper. I was at 10% that didn't want him. If you've seen my post about, he's like Josh Jackson 2.0.
I think I responded to you, and actually that made me kind of pause a little bit. Now, they're different players and different guys, but their measurables were what? Almost exactly the same.
Yeah. And I look at competition that he's played against. I mean, how did he do against Marvin Harrison? I mean, I get it. It's different schemes and everything else, but I just – if I'm looking at getting dog defenders, I mean, we got Georgia Bulldogs, I get it, ha-ha. But SEC always seems to have that bar raised so much higher, and their dog mentality is just through the roof. And I'm happy with the draft. I mean, I'd give it B+, A. I mean
– okay.
We filled our needs. I feel like we didn't – I thought we'd go more defense, but you think about going to the 4-3 – I mean, defensive line. You think about going to the 4-3 formation and getting that rotational linebackers and maybe some of the safeties that we did draft, you know, 2 or 3 safeties.
Right.
And maybe pick up some more just to rotate in and keep the defense fresh.
Yeah, really they needed that. They needed linebackers and safeties all day long. Like,
yeah,
that was such a hole going into the draft. So they covered that. So I'm very happy about that side for sure.
Like, I have in my questions, the second question is strength or weakness from last season. Our strength was our offense, and our weakness was the middle of our defense. You give too many big run plays, you know?
Well, not only that. I mean, when you have guys, I mean, and Rudy Ford played well for the guy that he is, right? Darnell Savage wasn't great. I knew they weren't going to bring him back. Yeah, the center of the defense was a hole. My issue with the draft is I hope that these guys, Evan Williams or Oladapo, can play in the box because the Packers didn't have that guy. They could bring up and run support. And I worry that the linebackers they have aren't, we call them thumpers on the average tees. You know, like guys that are just going to plug the hole. We have really fast dudes, and I know that's how the Packers do, but is there a run stopper? I'm not sure there is at linebacker.
Yeah. I mean, McDuffie, you think he has any effect on the defense?
I think he's a sideline-to-sideline guy, very similar to Quay Walker, nowhere near as athletic. But not big enough to just jump into the hole and take on guys. No, McDuffie is a effort guy, but he's too small to get beat up on every play, stuff in the run, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's going to get worn down pretty quick doing that every play. But I hope with this 4-3 defense that it does something for us in the schemes that he's bringing in, because we need, like I said, get that middle plugged up. That's huge. I mean, our offense can go out there and score all day long, but if you're going to have a defense that's going to be giving up points, it's going to be who has the ball last every single game.
Exactly that. I think one of the things is, and we don't know how good or bad Joe Barry is in relation to any other coach, right? Like, we all beat up on him, and I beat up on him constantly because I thought he was awful. I thought he was an awful hire from jump. He never had any track record of success. But I think – my buddy Todd on the podcast too also thinks that there is addition by subtraction. Losing Joe Barry might make some of these guys better. Let's play a simple scheme. Let's play to guys' strengths. Let's not put big guys out on an island, playing corner. I mean, if nothing else, if they don't do that this year, if Preston Smith isn't out, covering Davante Adams, I feel like that's a win all day.
Yeah. I still, there was one, so I don't know if I was making a comment or making a post, or I took a screenshot of a, or I saved a picture, and then I marked on there every 5 yards. And it was like, we had guys like 13 yards off the ball.
Yeah. And it was probably third and one on that play.
It was third and manageable.
Okay.
But it was a crucial play. It was a crucial play to where you'd want to play man defense,
Right. And play up a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, at least get a push on the, within that, 5 yards, you can make contact, and then after that, whatever. But it's just, I hope that our defense is our shining this year, because our offense, we know what they can do.
Right.
And I think getting Josh Jacobs and getting him in there, younger legs, and he not afraid to try to run you over, And I think that Marshawn Lloyd's going to be someone to reckon with too. He just, the way he ran, a lot of people are saying he was the best running back in the draft.
Yeah. And he is very similar in his running style to Josh Jacobs. I think that's important, too. I mean, last year the Packers had Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. They're so different in the way they run the football. I felt like they had to block differently, or the scheme had to be a bit different, because A.J. Dillon was going to run straight, you know, in a straight line, where Aaron Jones had a little bit of lateral movement. I feel like these guys are similar. The three guys they have are at least similar in running style and should make it easier on the offensive line.
Yeah. I was reading an article. I'm not going to source it because I can't remember what it was at. It's just, you see all these articles and people's opinions and everything on social media about, you know, they want how Lloyd is like Josh Jackson, and maybe like after a year or two, they kick Josh Jacobs, and after a year or two, kick him to the curb and have Lloyd as your premier back.
We actually talked about that exact same thing last night. If he can carry the rock, because Josh Jacobs has a lot of carries on his legs. I mean, yes, he's younger than Aaron Jones, but he's carried the ball an awful lot. And, you know, they hit 30. That's like the cliff. I agree. Yeah. I think that may be the case, and that might be what they're doing here.
And I think that I like bringing back A.J. Dillon just for the simple fact that he knows the offense. And he's like he's like a locker room captain. Like people, you know what I'm saying? He's mm-hmm. someone that people can look up to if they have questions. I'm sure he'd be more than willing to, you know, help him out. And he's a fan favorite for some people. He's the mayor of Door County.
Right.
But I think I'm glad he came back, and he seems to like the organization. And, you know, if he can be there to be kind of like a mentor, I think it's worth him coming back, because you get Jacobs, Lloyd, and Dillon beating on defense. It's going to wear them down quick, especially with the punch they pack, you know.
Agreed. I think that A.J. Dillon also, you with losing Aaron Jones, who is a great locker room guy, on top of being a great player, I agree. You need a guy in there that can keep the locker room light and also keep it. You have to have leaders in that locker room. And if you lose an Aaron Rodgers, who may or may not have been a leader, you lose Aaron Jones, who I think definitely was a leader. You got to have somebody to fill the void. And I think A.J. Dillon might be that guy.
For sure. And I think him, and I think even Josh Jacobs coming over, I think he's going to get that locker room too, because people know what he's capable of doing.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's afraid to speak his mind.
And when you're a very good player, it's easier to run your mouth. It's easier to be a leader because they've seen what you've done on the field.
And they're going to listen to you.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. I think people are walking on eggshells with him.
Yeah.
Like the last couple of years, they're just doing just whatever just to please him. But once he's gone, it's probably a huge relief off that locker room.
I totally agree. Time.
Especially for the young guys.
Right.
They're used to a whole different style of leader.
Yeah. The young wide receivers had to be like, it's like that breath of fresh air. Like, I don't have to worry about, you know, the veteran quarterback just freezing me out of the offense because I ran the wrong route and I'm never going to see the ball again. Like, there's a little bit of, okay, I made a mistake, let's move on. I don't feel like Aaron Rodgers was ever that guy to let guys move on quickly.
Short memory for him. Yeah, they have a real short memory and just go out there and try again the next time.
Exactly.
With Jordan Love, he's not afraid to go to who was ever open. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not open, that throw, I'll never forget that throw against the Cowboys. It went, if they had like the behind the scene or behind the ball, it went, a hand came through, it went past there, and the next hand came in and right in the end zone, you know, perfect throw. You couldn't ask for a better throw from a quarterback, and the concentration on the receiver to catch that too.
Right.
You know,
going through all the balls. Exactly.
Yeah.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So that brings me to my next question. Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, Aaron Rodgers all day long. I mean, I saw both of them in, you know, in my adulthood. Yeah. I loved Brett Favre, but Brett Favre was going to throw you. He was going to throw it to the wrong team a lot. And he didn't have the, I don't want to call it arm talent, because Brett Favre could throw it through a brick wall. And Aaron Rodgers had a great arm too. But Brett Favre couldn't do the things that Aaron Rodgers could do with touch and accuracy and placement. I mean, I like the guy, Brett Favre, but he's not the same quarterback as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I was 14 when the Packers won the Super Bowl in 96.
Okay.
And I just remember, you know, you're at that younger age where it's like you kind of remember, you kind of don't remember. I remember seeing like Brett Favre on the field running around, laughing, smiling, having a good time, giving people high fives and the hot mics and you know, just that made me fall in love with the Packers, you know. So I like them both. I would probably go with, you want an accurate quarterback and one that makes the right decision, I'd probably go with Aaron Rodgers. So as far as they called him gunslinger, just because he's like, okay, someone's open, throw the ball.
Yep. He didn't care that the window could be this big and he was going to try to throw it through there.
Yeah. But that
ended up in the wrong hands.
That consecutive streak, though, is something that I don't think will be touched for a while.
No, not
nowadays. Nowadays, people are just, you know, they have a hangnail and they're taking, you know.
I agree. I don't think that'll ever be broken. Not in our lifetimes.
Right.
Unless we're playing 18 maybe game one day season soon.
Mm-mm. Yeah, people are going to want to take that load management game. And
exactly.
But although, do you think, speaking of that, do you think Aaron's last year in Green Bay came out at the end of the season that he had a broken thumb? Do you think that he should have sat and let Jordan Love come in? I mean, it's not like your chances of making the playoffs are very slim. What's the point?
If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I don't do it. Because you know Aaron Rodgers' gigantic ego, he was going to step back if he thought he was even, 70%? I'm sure he still thought he was a better quarterback than Jordan Love. I mean, if he was looking out for the team and the organization, which I don't think he ever did, maybe, but I don't think he was that guy. Selfish.
Yeah.
Great
that,
quarterback.
That kind of rubbed me the wrong way, too. It's like he's making all this, and that comes out at the end of the season. Well, I played all year with a broken thumb. It's like,
why?
I mean, you sacrifice. I mean, you put the whole team under the bus because of maybe that made you hold onto the ball longer, which you held onto the ball longer, then you're scrambling and you're getting, you know, a 10, 15 yard loss. And, you know, maybe Jordan Love could have made, you know, the 4 yard scramble with his speed. I'm sure he's faster than you are. And it's just a whole lot of things go through your head when things come out at the end of the season. Well, why wasn't this done? Or why didn't it just kind of rubs you the wrong way and pisses you off, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I loved Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback. I really did. I'm not sad that he's gone, especially now that we see where Jordan Love is today. But all the shenanigans, all the off-field stuff, I'm super happy to be past that.
Yeah, it's nice to have an off-season. And they come in, you know, they came, a few weeks ago, the off-season mini or whatever. And they're all coming together. Jordan Love's here. The receivers are here. You see off videos of Dontayvion Wicks working out. He's going to come back as a beast. And, you know, Malik Heath, I think he has the high ceiling too. And you got Bull Melton. And you got Christian Watson and Jair went to UW-Madison to get talked to a specialist for the hamstrings. And, I mean, they're getting a different training staff in there. Things are going to be different this next year, and I'm excited.
Same. Same here.
It's a lot. There's a lot of excitement around here in Green Bay, and I cannot wait. Football can't come soon enough.
Exactly.
Who's your favorite coach in team history?
My favorite Packer coach in team history. Wow, that's a really good question. So I wasn't around for the Lombardi era. Mike Holmgren, probably, because that was the change in not only mindset for the Packers, but like the Packers became what they were. I'm not saying this right. In the 60s and in the late 60s, it was the Packers, right? And then there wasn't that Packer mystique, I felt, until Holmgren came back. There were some years in there, you know, with John Mikowski and that kind of thing. But Mike Holmgren kind of was the the start of we're going to start doing this again. I like Mike McCarthy too, but Holmgren was like the pioneer. He started it back again with dominance. So I'd say Mike Holmgren.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with LaFleur. Just for I'm a homer. I've actually had the chance to meet him before. Super nice guy.
Nice.
He's just super chill guy. I like his offense. He's always coming up, and this is what we brought him in for. And I think with Rodgers, we couldn't run the offense that we're seeing now because Rodgers had too much input.
Yeah, and I've seen that a million times too.
He changed the play in the huddle, you know.
Always.
It reminds me of in high school, we pissed off our defensive coordinator, and he gave up on us the second half of the game, and we actually called our own plays on defense and did a better job than when he was calling the play. So
that's funny. I totally agree, though. Aaron Rodgers was doing his own thing.
Yeah.
Whatever play was coming into the headset, if he wasn't liking it, he was calling out of that 100% all the time.
what is your most memorable game that you have witnessed?
I've been blessed to be at a lot of great Packer games. So I was at the Antonio Freeman catch against Minnesota.
Okay.
That was amazing. I was probably, I don't want to say right in front of him, about the 35-yard line for that catch, but that wasn't my favorite. And it's hard to find the YouTube of this. My favorite game I was at was Packers-Vikings. Favre threw to Corey Bradford on fourth down to beat the Vikings, maybe a 15, 20-yard pass, opposite end zone of where we were. That was unbelievable because it was, you know, we're Packer fans. We're like, there's no way. There's no way. Because they needed a touchdown to win. They couldn't kick a field goal. They had to score. Yep. Didn't happen until fourth down. He found Corey Bradford at the end, at the back of the end zone.
That's awesome.
That was amazing.
Yeah. For me, I was at the game where Woodson had two picks against the Lions. And the one he ran back and scored on that made the cover of Sports Illustrated. Woodson was my favorite player of all time. So that was cool to see, be there and witness that. So
awesome.
There had been a lot of good games though. You think of with the Hail Marys from Aaron Rodgers against the Lions.
There have been some great games for sure. I've been lucky to go to enough games as an adult to see some amazing things. I saw the Amon Green run from end zone to end zone. Was it 98 yards, whatever it was?
Yeah.
That was amazing too. There's so many Packer memories from great games.
Yeah. Also a lot of history for sure. A lot of good history.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you hear Green Bay, what do you think of?
Home.
As far as like
Green Bay football?
This is the city of Green Bay, how it incorporates with, you know, the Packers and football and the history and
that's a great question. I think it is the NFL could move franchises from every other franchise. They could move cities. And I don't think at the end of the day it would be that big of a deal. The NFL always has to have Green Bay as a franchise. It is, and I know we're biased, right? We're Packer fans, but it's the cornerstone of the NFL. It's the great story. It'll never happen again in sports at any level. I'm super biased, but it's the quintessential.
It's the Mecca.
Yes. It's the Mecca of all football, of pro football for sure.
Right. I guess I'm blessed to. I live in De Pere, which is south. I'm like 10 minutes from Lambeau, if I'm going above the speed limit. but I'm from the Madison area. My wife is actually from De Pere, and I always remember when we first started dating, and I was like, oh, so like a little kid in the candy store, like, oh, can we go to you know the the mini cams and this and that, and going getting the camera and getting a memory stick and going up there when it was outside the Rynitsky Center and just taking pictures. And that's when they, Favre was still, was it Rodgers? Vince Young was a backup quarterback, but we had like AJ Hawk still and Nick Barr. It was such a, like a overwhelming, like for me being a huge Packer fan and coming up during the week and taking a day off of work to coming out with my girlfriend at the time and just being there and seeing it and seeing how things are done. And, oh my God, there's Lambeau Field. Now that I live here, it's like, oh, that's Lambeau right Field. You know, it's that I see it like maybe twice, three times a week, you know, but just to know the legends that have walked through there and what has happened inside that stadium and how the small, like one of the smallest market teams in all the sports can be one of the most loved, like nationwide. It's pretty cool. You know,
it is amazing. I did the Lambeau tour a couple of years ago, maybe 5 years ago. And that was the first time I'd ever done it. And yeah, to walk into a place where legends have played.
Right.
For you guys that, you know, I've watched on the TV or watched on, you know, highlights before I was born, those kind of things, those guys stood in that spot that right. I'm standing in now.
Yeah.
To me, that means so much. I, you know, like, again, we're Packer fans and we're super biased on these things, but there's not a better place.
Right.
I've been to many other stadiums in my life. And again, cause I'm a Packer fan, it feels different, but there's nothing like it.
Yeah. I know. When we got married, we were still living down. She moved in with me down in Madison for like a year or whatever. But when we got married, we had the wedding up here, and I had a groom's cake with a replica of a cheese head.
Nice.
And then our rehearsal dinner was at Curly's Pub when it was still in Lambeau Field before I went to 1919. Mm-hmm. And it was at night, obviously, and we all took a stadium tour, and we walked out the tunnel and at nighttime, and the fire alarms went off, and you could see up in the press boxes the strobes going. Like, it was just awesome, you know. Sure. I mean, it was just to be able to say I had my. I mean, it's just speechless. At that time, I was still fresh into the Lambeau Field experience and everything,
right.
And I was like, you know, what are you new today? I'm just gonna go to the pro shop, maybe look around. It's 10 minutes from my house. Just go see if I. But yeah, I mean. There's people that haven't been here that would just, if you go, have you been to the Hall of Fame since they redid it?
I have not. One of my favorite memories is when it was across the street. I went there on a weekday when there was no one there. It was a great day, but I have not been to it since they moved inside Lambeau.
It's amazing. It's two stories now. They have a part where you go on the escalators and I have like one wall, side wall, front wall, another side wall of all the different jersey renditions they've used through the years. Like they have like a mannequin wearing the jersey. And I mean, it's they have all the people in the Hall of Fame, Packers Hall of Fame. It's just, I could go there every day and walk around, you know, just something new pops out every day, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think is the best draft class for Goody? Which draft class?
So we do this every year, and I've sort of beat up on it. I'm not sure that this isn't one of them. I hate to be recency biased, but I feel like this is Gutekunst and LaFleur's drafts now. We're not appeasing Aaron Rodgers. We're not worried about what, the second GM or, what Rodgers is thinking. This one is great. He's had some bad ones, to be honest. I mean, I'm a Gutekunst guy, but you start looking back at like the 2018 draft, the 19, the 20 draft, they weren't very good. I think he is getting better at it as he goes along. This might be maybe last year's because of the gems that he picked up. You know, like Dontayvion Wicks late was a great draft. I guess I can't really judge this one when none of them have actually played an NFL snap. So I guess I'll have to say last year's draft was probably his best draft.
Yeah. I mean, you got Van Ness. I think he's still barely scraped the surface. And Musgrave, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, Wooden, Wicks, Brooks. I mean, people don't give up on Andres Carlson. He's going to do big things, I think.
I've already given up on him. Hand and a gun. I'm ready for anybody but Anders Carlson, to be honest. But the rest of those guys have been great picks. Almost to a man. Like, almost every one of them has been better than expected.
Yeah, except for Lou Nichols. That's about it.
Well, right. And a seventh-round guy, you're just taking that guy hoping that he's anything at that point, right?
Yeah. Well, Carrington Valentine was seventh round.
He was, and I'm not sure how great he's going to be long-term. He was a great – I mean, for a seventh-round pick, he played games last year. That's already a win, right? Anything he does going forward is better than you'd expect. He was a good seventh-round pick.
Yeah, I like – probably my favorite – I mean, 2020 Jordan Love, that's obviously a genius pick.
Yeah, and we like, weren't so sure then.
Seeing the future. Yeah, we weren't sure just because all we heard was, you know, I heard they drafted Jordan Love, took a drink of scotch, and, you know, we're all so in love with Aaron Rodgers that anything he says, like, jump. Okay, how high, you know?
Right.
But come to realize that the Packers knew kind of what they were doing. And
but you look at the rest of that draft, and it wasn't good, right?
Yeah.
A.J. Dillon was – I mean, what he's – he has never.
It's only Jordan Love and Dillon are the only guys we have on our team that from that draft class. Everybody else is gone.
Terrible.
I think Eric Stokes is going to make an impact this next year if he comes back healthy. I think he's going to make. I mean, he did get burned a few times, but he had the speed to make up for it.
He did.
A lot of guys don't have that raw speed, you know.
My worry is that Liz Frank surgery or injury that he had, that not too many guys come back from that. I'm with you on the past tense. He did, and he wasn't a bad corner. Will he ever be the guy the Packers wanted him to be? There's no way to tell. We'll find out this year, right? Like, this is the make or break year for Eric Stokes.
Yeah. Did you know? Okay. Speaking of injuries, so Kingsley and Nagbar.
Yeah.
Was it ever officially confirmed that it was a torn ACL?
I believe so. I feel like that's...
I was reading an article that he never came out and admitted to it.
No?
He never... Yeah, so
maybe
I don't know.
It was just assumed that that's what it was.
Yeah. But that would be great if it wasn't.
It would be great. He did that late in the season. That puts him back... You know, it's always a full calendar year. He probably will not be that guy through the entire season this year, even if he came back 8 weeks in or 10 weeks when... 10 weeks
after...
He'll get back to the
I'm hoping we can use some of the guys from the draft and some undrafted free agents to, I mean, maybe we can find a diamond in the rough to come on that rotation, you know.
To play on the edge?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary were made to play defensive end in the 4-3. Both of them played with their hand down in college. I don't think that part is going to be an issue. It's the Preston Smiths, the J.J. Inagbare. Like, I'm not sure that those guys are I don't think they're defensive end. They're edge guys. They play in a two-point stance, not with their hand in the dirt.
Yeah, I want to see Gary put his hand in the dirt. I've been saying that all year long. That's a game name in Michigan, was that's how he played. And then they bring him over and put him at linebacker?
Totally.
The same thing with Campman. I mean, that's...
yes. Yes. Better with his hand in the ground. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think if we can put Gary and Vanessa, I mean, the hand in the dirt, and just there's a whole bunch of different combinations you could use on defense. And I think that's, you know, you bring up some of those safeties maybe to play that linebacker spot too at times on the edge. I don't know.
Totally agree. And I don't think that it's beyond the reality that Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden can't play end. And they're not huge guys. It's not like they're 320. They're both undersized tackles. Why couldn't you move them outside?
Yeah, as long as you can have speed off the ball and you can beat your guy. Okay. I mean, the objective is to get to the quarterback.
Exactly.
And if they can do that, throw them in there. All-time favorite Packer.
James Lofton.
Who?
James Lofton.
Games often?
Yeah, he was my favorite Packer. I mean, I started watching games in like 1978. I guess that ages me a little bit. But like that year, he's a Hall of Famer, and I kind of grew up on him. It's hard to let go of guys like that. You know, I was 8, 9, 10 years old watching James Lofton taking, you know, catching passes from every shitbag quarterback the Packers had in the late 70s. He's still a Hall of Famer somehow. Yeah, definitely James Lofton.
Yeah, I'm going with Charles Woodson. Even though he wasn't a lifelong Packer, he was a Packer long enough to make a difference. And, you know, huge Badger fan, but watching him play at Michigan he did everything right, you know, and he brought ball hawk.
Absolutely. I went to a Wisconsin-Michigan game when he was at Michigan at Camp Randall, and he picked one off. Of course, did the Heisman pose that day, and I wasn't super happy with Charles Woodson, but I love Charles Woodson. Just professional, smart, and athletic, like just an amazing player.
Yep. Yeah, my wife and kids were lucky enough they got to meet him.
Really?
At festival, when he had his wine come out, he was doing a thing at Festival Foods in DePere here, and they snuck there and surprised me with some autographed bottles of wine.
Awesome.
But that was pretty cool that my kids got to see dad's idol, you know?
Absolutely.
Do you think this offense is better without Aaron Rodgers?
I think it is more well-rounded without Aaron Rodgers. Better, maybe down the road, right? When Jordan Love plays a couple years and you know, becomes who he's going to be. I mean, he was great in year one for sure. The Packers were very Davante Adams, you know, dominant. When Aaron Rodgers needed to throw the football on a big play, everybody in the stadium knew where it was going. And I think Jordan Love is going to throw it to the open man. And I hope that that is what he always does, because that makes the Packers a better football team. Yes.
Right.
Long term, it makes the Packers a better offense if you're spreading it around to the open guy, because then you can't double team the Davante Adams or the Christian Watson or whoever it's going to be going forward. You have to play more honest defense against the Packers if, you know, Jordan Love continues that.
Yeah, Aaron did spread the ball around, but in crunch time, you knew where he was going, and that killed us. Yeah, double team Davante, you know where the ball is going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and then the recent comments that Davante said that Love is like super super good.
He's a baller. So, yes, he's a freaking baller.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if he regret. He says he doesn't regret leaving Green Bay, but in the back of your mind, you think he does?
I think he does. I mean, right, you don't know how good Jordan Love is going to be. And I know he wanted to go home, but he wasn't really going home because it's the Las Vegas Raiders and he's a California guy, right? I think he wanted to go play with a quarterback he knew he would be able to – he was more likely to have success with. He didn't know what Jordan Love was going to be. He knew that his guy, Derek Carr, he knew Derek Carr, right? He was going to go play with him, and he knew what he was getting in him. Well, at least he thought he knew what he was getting in him. He didn't get much, that's for sure.
Yeah, now that he's not even there, and it pissed him off when he got released. And yeah, well, I heard he was digging the ground for his house before it even came out that he was going there. He was already building the house. Yeah.
I know that.
Pretty sure he was, yeah. But I kind of had it's – you think of the cap that it frees up for everybody and what we want – I mean, now we got Rodgers and Bakhtiari off the – how are they off the salary cap now?
Well, Bakhtiari will have a cap hit this year, a dead cap hit, which is pretty big, but I don't remember what it was. It's significant, $20 million.
Aaron Rodgers
is no longer on the books, but you've gotten rid of Davante Adams, great player, but big cap number. Aaron Rodgers, great player, but huge cap number. And David Bakhtiari, also with a big cap number, it does free you up. And if the cap keeps going up, the Packers have so much more flexibility to do things in free agency if they want. I mean, Xavier McKinney is not a player on the Packers roster if David Bakhtiari is on the roster. At least that's my my thought.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on McKinney?
Oh, I love that signing. I mean,
yeah,
that is, you know, the old Packers would have tried to draft and develop. I think Gutekunst is a little more middle of the road. We'll look for some free agents. We'll also draft and develop. You can't, when you're in a window, if you think that Jordan Love is going to be a guy that takes you to the playoffs consistently, you can't be in a spot at safety. If you take Xavier McKinney off of the Packer roster, who is it, right? There's nobody. It's all these rookies.
Right.
You can't have a back end like that with all rookies or guys that are retreads and expect any success back there. I mean, you said it before, defense, they need to have a decent defense. It doesn't have to be a world beater defense. It just can't be a bottom third defense to be a successful team this year.
Right. And what I like is on our defense, we have Kenny Clark on the line. He's a leader. Mm-hmm. Then you have Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith at linebacker. They're leaders. Then corners, you got Jair. He's a leader. McKinney at 24, he's a leader. So I think that defense got instantly better when they got McKinney.
1,000%.
He's 24 years old. I mean, I can't believe the Giants just let him go. I mean, they Same. Didn't. I just unreal. And then they get the money they gave Daniel Jones. They're almost as bad as the Bears.
Yeah, you know? That $40 million a year for Daniel Jones. I mean, maybe they have to know something that we don't, because I just don't see it. I just don't.
He had that one good year. But I mean, decent year, I guess. I mean, even like the Bears letting Fields go, it still baffles me why they – I mean, I thought he was the king of the North. You know, that's what he's being labeled.
He's the off-season king of the North.
But in his defense, I thought he wasn't given a fair shot by the coaches. I think they did him wrong there. I really do. And they got DJ Moore, and they would have, if they would have kept him, I think they would have drafted Marvin Harrison Jr. He had the arm, he had the legs, he had the size. They gave up on him. I hope he goes to Pittsburgh and beats out Russell Wilson and shows them, hey, look what you guys missed out on. And I hope the Bears, Caleb Williams, just falls apart. He was good, decent at Oklahoma, but then he went to USC and didn't do anything.
I was a big Justin Fields guy. I mean, I'm a Packer fan, but you have to be realistic about the guys that other teams pick.
Yeah. Right?
And you looked at Justin Fields, you're like, big, he's athletic. Got a nice arm. My only thing with Justin Fields is he never showed across all the couple of years that he played. Now, granted, he had a terrible offensive line. He was running for his life a lot. But I don't think, and it's not a smarts thing. I think it's a quick twitch brain. I don't know how to say this, but you have to make decisions that are just instantaneous at the quarterback position in the NFL. And I'm not sure that he could ever get past that. At Ohio State, guys were running wide open all the time, right? Yeah. In the NFL, it's a very small window, and you have to anticipate the window. It's not there. Yep. You can't throw it when it's there. You got to throw it before it's there. And I'm not sure that Justin Fields can do that. Again, I thought he was a physical freak. I thought he was going to be a great NFL quarterback. I don't have any ill will. I hope he's great in Pittsburgh, too. I hope he is.
Yeah.
That'd be great, because I go on a couple of Bears podcasts and I would love to be able to bring that up constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. He was the one Bears quarterback I was kind of afraid of.
Yeah.
Because you never knew like what kind of game he was going to bring. I mean, you knew like what he did in college. Mm-hmm. And would that translate to the NFL? You know?
It should have. It just didn't for whatever reason. You look at Caleb Williams too. Caleb Williams is similar in the athletic system, but he's not a big guy.
No,
he's going to get mangled by some big defensive linemen in the NFL. If he thinks he's going to run around in the pocket like he did at USC, you're not running away from a 245-pound defensive end. That guy's 320, and he's as fast or faster, and he's bigger and stronger. I don't have any negative thoughts against Caleb Williams, but I don't know how. He's not Patrick Mahomes in my
right. Opinion. Yeah, I don't think he's going to succeed in Chicago. I mean, they drafted one lineman?
Yes, they didn't upgrade the offensive line one bit. He's going to have the same problems that Justin Fields did. He's going to look up, and there's going to be five guys in his lap.
You have Edger and Cooper come just like a laser coming after you, and you're going to have Gary on the other side, and you're just going to want to keep on crying, I guess, you know?
That's what I'm hoping. He can cry to his mama at Soldier Field.
What do you think was the turning point last year for the Packers? Like, what made them hit stride and finish out the way they did?
That's a great question. I actually think, and this is dumb because they didn't turn it around immediately after this, I think that New Orleans game gave them a little bit of belief. Hey, we can come back from even we don't have Aaron Rodgers. It's Jordan Love now. They came back and won that game, and they just kept growing. I don't think there was like a switch right. that just went off that said, yeah, now we're that team. This was a very young team that just started to figure it out over time.
Yep. Yeah. It like going into this draft, not so much the draft before, we knew what we had in our cards to play with and what we needed to get. And this year we went into the draft knowing what we had, what we did last year, what we need to improve on. So I think midway through last year, I think they all just gelled at the same time. You know, they all had those first few games to build confidence with each other and get to know what each other did, and it started to show, you know.
Yep.
So I think they got behind Jordan Love, and they trusted the play calling on offense and not so much on defense, according to Devondre Campbell. But
if he said that, I feel like Jair said some stuff. He didn't say it directly, but I felt like he was saying the same type of things, just sort of side-eyed him.
Like what Campbell say, if you think that the coaching got me the All-Pro, you got it twisted.
Yeah, I agree. I think Joe Barry was a liability. I think, you know, when you come out publicly in a presser and say, Preston just asked to survive the play, that can never, even if that's true, and there's always holes in a defense, right? If the offense calls the right play in the right time and the defense is in whatever spot, yes. You have to survive the play, but you never say that publicly. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah, some say stuff that. Just stays in the locker room, and that shouldn't exactly. have came on at all.
No. You and I could have been upgrades at defensive coordinator. I've never coached in a high school football game, even, but I feel like I could have done a better job than Joe Barry.
Yeah, just go out there and
let him play. Just
let him play.
Okay, guys, just do your thing. Do your thing. Yeah, been better.
Let's go out there and hit somebody.
Hit somebody.
Reminds me in high school we played against a team that ran the wishbone, where they're all bunched at the line
or the wing. And
you have no idea where the ball is. So all week long in practice, we ran practice without a ball, and we just tackled people that came across us, and they were ranked like number two or three in Division II. It was Mauston.
Okay.
And both times they were ranked, and we beat them both times. All we did in practice is just tackled
whoever. Ball
got snapped. We tackled somebody because they're all right there on the line of scrimmage.
One of them has the ball,
right? Thoughts on Goody? Think he's doing a good job so far as GM?
I think he's growing into the job. Again, I think he's made a lot of mistakes, but every GM makes mistakes. Right. Like you look through like number one draft picks, go back to last year and start looking at all the guys, check the boxes. Who's a flop already? There's plenty of them. I think that the one thing I like, you can't Ted Thompson, God rest him, draft and develop is fine when you have Aaron Rodgers, right? Or when you have a quarterback that can make up for other mistakes. You can't just live in drafting alone. You have to pick up free agents here and there. You have to do that. You need a veteran at times. You can't wait for a guy to develop. I mean, even first-round picks need time to develop. That I like about Brian Gutekunst. I think he stretches at times. I think this first-round pick, Jordan Morgan, might be a good player, but I think he is – I think he doesn't have great value. I don't think he was a great value pick. I think there were better guys at the spot we picked at, and I think they probably could have. Clearly, he didn't think they could you know, wait till 41 to get Jordan Morgan, but I do. I think there are better players on the board, and I think he's done that quite a bit. The kid out of Missouri, I forget his name, the third-round linebacker, Hopper, I think. Tyron Hopper. I think they stretch for guys at times because they fit whatever mold or whatever mold that they think that, I don't know, that he can fill. I think that he stretches. I think he's doing a decent job.
Yeah. I'll
just say that.
Same. I think he's doing a good job. I think he has fresh ideas, and he's willing to listen, but at the same time, he's stuck in his ways, which is a good thing. He's not going to let people tell him how to do his job.
Right. He killed the Aaron Rodgers trade, right? I mean, look back at that, and now you see all the picks that came from it.
Yeah.
But maybe he should have pulled that a year earlier. I don't think any of us wanted to pull the trigger a year earlier, but you look at the Russell Wilson haul and you think, man, if we could have got that for Aaron Rodgers, knowing what we know now, of course it's easy because it's hindsight.
Right.
But he pulled the trigger. He got a lot out of that deal considering everybody in the world knew that Aaron Rodgers didn't want to be in Green Bay anymore.
Yeah. Well, he still has a house in Green Bay, I think. I think he's going to keep a house in Green Bay from what I heard.
Aaron Rodgers does?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had multiple houses in Green Bay at one time. Nice. Must be nice to have all that money.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Thoughts on switching to the 4-3?
I love it. We did a podcast middle of the year last year, and I brought it up. I just think that the 3-4, everything is cyclical, right? And everybody's playing the 3-4. There isn't a whole lot of variation or nuance that you can do at some point. The 4-3, I want to say that half of the top 10, I don't know my numbers exactly, half of the top 10 defenses at one point last year were 4-3 defenses. And I think that has something to do with it's a little bit different look than quarterbacks are used to. They have to scheme it a little bit differently. And I think the 4-3 is going to be good for the Packers. I think they have the personnel now that they brought linebackers in and drafted a couple of young safeties. Again, I think Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary were born to play with their hand in the dirt, and I think that's a big deal. I also had talked about for years that Kenny Clark needed to move off the nose so he wasn't getting doubled and triple teamed. You play in the 4-3, now he's playing defensive tackle. He's going up against the guard. Maybe he's getting double teamed, but you have guys that can play inside. I think it's great for the Packers. I really do. I think it's a step in the right direction. I think that more teams will play the 4-3, and we'll go back in that, you know, in that direction for a while with teams.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to help our run defense too. And you get that line collapsed down. If you have guys coming off the edge, it's going to hold guys accountable on the offensive line. They're going to end up getting pushed on the one big bunch, and that's going to stop the run.
And how many times did the Packers play with one linebacker, even on, like, I want to say it, obvious rundowns, but on sort of obvious rundowns, you're looking at Quay Walker, and he's all back there by himself. And I think that's an issue. I think having another guy in the middle is a big deal for run defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Last question. Are you going to the draft next year?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely we are. So Peter, one of our podcast friends, lives in the UK. I told him, you have to come. This is never going to happen in our lifetimes again.
Right.
I mean, I live in Milwaukee, so even if I had to drive up from Milwaukee, I would. I'm already looking for avenues to stay closer. I know that the minute that those hotel rooms, you know,
they're already gone.
Right.
They're already gone.
I think I have an inroads into that. Plus we have a friend that owns a condo in Door County. That's close enough in my mind.
Yeah.
To be able to come down, but yes, 1000%, I will be there at the draft. Yes.
Same.
Taking those days off of
school. I will be there. Come hell or high water, I'll be there. My wife can drop me off and pick me up.
Exactly. Whatever it costs.
Drop me off on the corner of Ashland and Lombardi, and I'll walk to Lambeau.
Wherever it's going to be. Where do you think the venue is going to be, in the parking lot? I was trying to figure it out because Detroit had an awesome. The way they did it was awesome. I don't know where else they have the space like to do something like that.
Well, I'm thinking like they redid the steps. Was it on Oneida? And they have that Johnsonville tailgate village.
Mm-hmm.
But they redid.
I'm not sure.
I'm saying they redid. I think they have like, I don't know. I would think they'd do it in the parking lot somewhere. They've got to have something for that. I also did hear that they're going to maybe do something to where people ride their bikes, draft selection, something to where the people that get drafted, like ride their bikes across the whatever. I don't know.
We joked on our podcast that they should come sliding down that hill on like inner tubes across.
Aaron's.
Yeah, down the sled hill. Like, here comes the number one pick in the draft. Hopefully you don't get hurt. Here he comes.
Yeah.
That would be super fun.
Yeah. Well, definitely. Hey, listen, I'm going to get going here, okay. Dale. But I do appreciate you coming on here and talking Packers. And we'll have to hook up at the draft next year. And
absolutely.
Definitely have to have you on again, though, for sure, before the draft.
Sounds great. Thanks again for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And where can people find you at?
You can find us on Twitter/X at AVG Cheese, and we have a website, www.avgcheese.com.
And yes, AVG stands for average.
It does. I'm the below average one. Peter's the above average one. You can find our podcast pretty much anywhere you want to find a podcast.
All right. Well, Dale, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.